Today we have a special guest. It's Ron James from Oakville. He's from Stone Mill Realty. So, Ron, why don't you give us a quick introduction of who you are and what you're about, and we'll go from there.
I still think you look like Jeremy Previn.
I still get that a lot.
I know, brother. And it's odd because I get to hear you at this point, and it's like I'm listening to Entourage.
That isn't my niche, but it could be. So
it could be. Yeah. Actually, why not? Hey, if you're going to be a celebrity lookalike real estate agent, there was a guy, a realtor out of Royal LePage, who literally changed his name to Rod Stewart.
Did he look like him?
Yeah, he did. Actually, he was a Rod Stewart impersonator. That's awesome. Real estate, you know, when he could. We're here out of Oakville. My name is Ron James. I've been in the real estate mortgage financing business. Very long in the tooth in doing this particular business. Different changes and updates and movement in real estate when you find out that things like texting is only 21 years old. It does make me feel, I can't tell you the number of real estate deals that are being done or being connected or originated or completed with texting. So here in Oakville, I've been blessed to work in a number of different markets. I started off in Brampton. I've been members of the Mississauga Real Estate Board when it was standalone, Toronto Real Estate Board, certainly Hamilton Burlington, and now Oakville Milton. Each of the boards have their own personalities. Certainly real estate agents in general have changed, morphed, and we in the Oakville area, it's an interesting situation here. There are a population of about 170,000, yeah, about 168,000 real estate agents. So yes, you have to kind of differentiate yourself by going into a niche market if you're going to compete, especially when you're a boutique real estate office like Stone Mill Realty.
Yeah, for sure.
But also has the benefit of being a custom home builder, that we provide a large-scale renovation or brand new build every other month in this community, and have for the last 15 years. So prior to me coming as a realtor to this particular organization, did literally everything. He originated all sales, he originated all build sales, he built the houses, etc. Right. When I got here, it was understanding that there was an opportunity for people like myself as a licensed realtor to come in and provide a solution that would serve my benefits. Obviously, I do make money selling real estate. That's how I generate a living. Yep. But at the same time, being able to kind of offer the clients a little bit more breadth of scope. This builder broker wasn't always available just because he was pushed and pulled in so many directions. And if we actually could start to kind of create an authority figure, somebody who was not just a general practitioner like a traditional doctor or a family doctor, but somebody that was eye, ears, nose, and throat, that maybe perhaps we could start to set a benchmark in real estate. And that's what we've done.
So right now, as your brokerage specifically does that, how many agents and members are in your office, would you say then?
We are 20 realtors, but as you can appreciate in any real estate office, it's, you know, you're counting good DNA, people that can pull the trigger and make a living in real estate. And that's not necessarily, I'm not actually bashing whether people are part-time or, yep, you know, full-time, but mentally part-time, because there is a difference. Yep. But we have approximately half of our sales force that are also representing other home builders as well. So we have folks that do represent the large brands on track build housing. Okay. And they actually sit off-site. So they are Stone Mill Realty members and realtors.
Right.
They do still sell their own backup product line, et cetera, but they also represent another builder's new product. Then there are others in the office, such as myself and other people that work with me, not for me, that do both. We can actually sell land. We can sell residential MLS product. We can sell new build, large-scale renovation, et cetera.
So then I guess you'd say some of those other agents, their niche is actually, they have a niche within that niche by working with other builders and doing those new builds.
Yeah. And I will tell you that in the differentiation between a new home salesperson and a resale agent, it's always been, it's almost like if you can't sell resale, off you go to sell new home.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I look at it, and certainly in the position that I'm here or in here at Stone Mill, These are folks that, you know, may only make $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a house.
Right.
But they have no overhead.
Right.
They go to an office, everything is supplied, everything from, you know, the water they drink to the paper they sequestered into a facility that has them start at 1 o'clock, leave at 7, and work every weekend from 11 to 6. But the difference is they do get to go home.
Right.
Unlike my resale compatriots that are still, you know, pushing paper at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, or having to start first thing at, you know, 6 o'clock breakfast meetings, etc.
Yeah.
The new home people don't have that. They actually get a chance to kind of go home, rest, recover, and come back and be fresh horses on site.
Right.
Their net income versus some of the resale agents can give you a run for money. You may have to make $100,000, $120,000 to keep $60,000, $70,000. And they can do it for far less because they don't have the expense writer information that we have.
Yeah.
So, they found a niche.
So with yourself then, what drew you to Stonemill Realty and following this niche of new home builds?
Well, the owner, builder, broker of this particular company is a former banker. And I talked at the beginning of the show about my background in mortgage financing as well. I went into the financial services industry in 1996 as a real estate consultant. Again, because I had a specialty and I used to appear on a television show in Canada called CityLine, and for 3 years, I was their real estate expert, if you will.
Yep.
And this was a show, Marilyn Dennis ran the show, she was Canada's Oprah. It ran, they would film the show and actually run it four different times through the week.
Yep.
It went right across Canada. So it was an interesting show. One of the viewers happened to work with a company called National Trust, which no longer exists.
Right.
And they said, you know, we don't know what you do, but we just know that we need your expertise to come in and talk to our 22 mobile mortgage specialists.
Wow.
And show us how to take our, you know, creativity as far as lending and actually interface and network with real estate agents. So that turned into about 10 years of my lifetime with different financial institutions working with some of the major five companies in Canada.
And that all spun off from being on the show then?
Yeah, it just came off of the show. And one of the contacts was the owner operator now of Stonemill Realty and Stonemill Custom Homes. And Paul and I actually used to do a collaboration to train and certify Ontario on how to handle power of sale properties. Paul at the time worked for a large property management company that was national. They actually handled statement of claim for all of these Fortune 500 banks, you know, our big five.
Yep.
And they were very specific about how real estate was actually being transacted because the possibility of lawsuits, because realtors were using the words like, you know, power of sale, abandoned, repossessed,
right,
that kind of idea, were actually in violation of what the statement of claim would look like. So a homeowner, mm-hmm, that was losing their home could basically say, hey, your realtor made my house look like it was a cheap deal.
Right.
So now we're going to sue you because you didn't try hard enough. So Paul and I actually put together campaigns and trained and certified real estate agents through the financial institutions to be able to do that. So, mm-hmm, we had a history. And when he actually started taking a passion of his, which was home building, and put it on wheels, we had disconnected and reconnected through a mortgage provider that I actually had hired and put in touch with Paul. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm selling real estate. He said, you should talk to Paul because he's still doing home building and he could certainly use what you do. And 6 years later, here I am.
So for yourself, then, what would you say now on an average day to day? What's a day like for you?
Craziness. I will tell you that, you know, it's an interesting situation. We have built processes that generate leads. And I, you know, it's interesting when I hear campaigns and I go to conferences and people are saying, you know, I just need good leads. Well, let me do my best Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the leads.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you something. If I hand you one, two, three, whatever you could juggle.
Yeah.
You can manage.
Yeah.
As soon as I throw you the fourth or fifth or sixth lead,
yeah,
all you're going to do is cherry pick.
Yeah.
And if you're getting, like me, I generated a program that I spent $350 built it from scratch. That's all it cost me. This particular campaign has generated now over 140 inbound leads, name, address, email address at this point with, we want information, please contact us.
And that's,
believe it or not, we can't handle the flow.
Wow. And that's, again, because you found your niche and you know who you're going after.
Well, and it's interesting. And, you know, I know that you have an upcoming guest, Chuck Charlton. In speaking with Chuck about my dilemma, you know, he made a really great distinction at this point, where because I've been in the real estate business for such a long time, how I was groomed, what we actually started to kind of, work on when we were first in the business, and the style of real estate that we sold, keeping in mind that, you know, 1982, there was no internet.
Yeah.
We couldn't spell the word. It didn't exist as a word at this point. So the World Wide Web wasn't there. The most scientific sales tool capture program was a gold cross pen. That was it. You know, we didn't work Sundays. There was a time to go home. There was no pagers. There was no cell phones. Yeah. I was there. I joined the office when they brought in the first computer, which was a typewriter that auto-fed some phone squish in. There was a 4-push-button line situation. You know, it was a different business. And people said, you know, how the hell did you sell real estate back then? It's like, believe it or not, we sold more real estate, I suspect, back then than are being transacted today. We also owned the information.
Right.
If you wanted information related to real estate, we owned the book.
Right.
You had to come to us because we had the book. And certainly now it's a broad-based situation. Now it's a public domain.
Yep.
To have listings actually populated kind of worldwide. From a seller's perspective, it would certainly be in a situation where that would enhance and improve exposure. But did we sell any more real estate, or have we sold more real estate? So in working with, you know, how I did things, it was a very manual process. We actually had to touch, manipulate, shape. It was like a pottery class.
Yep.
I had to hand make everything that went onto my shelves.
Right.
And then once I sold that product at this point, I had to hand make more. So there was a kind of a lull in your business.
Yep.
And it was the ebb and flow of how we did what we did.
Yep.
That's how we were trained. 30 years ago, it was personality. People bought you,
right.
The whole push about the origination of RE/MAX when it first came to Canada was about, you know, it's not the brand, it's the individual real estate agent.
Right.
And we bought that.
Yep.
And then you meet people like Chuck, for example, who basically said, well, you've put yourself in a situation where you've made yourself completely, if there's no you, there is no business.
Right.
And there doesn't need to be. So when I look at the change of technology and what it's possible to do, what millennials are looking at as far as real estate practitioners, they're actually showing you how to build a machine.
Yep.
In the case of some of these practitioners, they're actually speaking to as many as 11,000 people 2 to 3 times a week.
Yep.
Well, on my best day, I can make maybe 20 phone calls.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm not old and tired.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, certainly looking at how to take, you know, old school selling,
right.
You know, just old school hockey coach, you know, I'm going to do my full on Hanson Brothers situation here and integrate it with, you know, systems and processes that wider audience. You're now actually talking to, I don't know how many people through this particular medium that we could have only dreamed of, you know, back in the day. I mean, you were only as good as your own back. There was no running into Toronto, running out to Cambridge, traveling anything more than your service area. One, your broker wouldn't let you.
Yeah.
Backyard to get out there and generate an income. And what now happens is that through technology, you can be positioned anywhere. So that certainly is a game changer. I think a lot of the folks have realized how to kind of cast a net very, very quickly and utilize and embrace and harness the power of technology and actually bring it to a level of real estate that us old guys just can't even process, can't even fathom that this is possible.
I think the great thing now with technology is it. I think there's been a shift in technology as well, as it's a lot more user friendly. So there are things like this using Google Hangouts or things like that that aren't too overly tech savvy, you can still figure them out and still apply them. So a lot of agents tend to get afraid of technology, but it's becoming more user friendly. So you don't have to miss that opportunity or miss that boat, because there are some technologies that you can use that can definitely enhance your business and help you find the niche you're looking at, you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly now, you know, we've just moved into a new facility at 550 Spears, a beautiful building. I mean, I've operated from my dining room table with this company for the last 6 years, which is fine. I mean, we are mobile, and certainly devices are available to us to work anywhere. However, now having an office environment is a game changer. Certainly people still like to come to the office to take a meeting with you. We like to be able to kind of separate a little bit of, you know, church and state when it comes to having a personal life versus our professional life.
Right.
But one of the things that's happened is in this particular office, although we have very generous size offices, the office furniture was available to us through the broker and here. So it made us kind of look like a financial institution. So if you walked through our offices at this point, you would actually see these workstations that look and remind you very much of a financial institution or a bank or something of that effect. Where in my particular office, there's a round table and four chairs where I happen to be sitting right now.
Yep.
There's a small kind of, if you will, workbench type of area behind me. But my whole office, you know, fits inside my MERS, which is a man purse, which is a cool thing. If we were in Europe, nobody would be giggling, you know. But that is the technology. You know, with my iOS smartphone device, my iPad or a tablet situation, this is where I'm selling real estate. And certainly we sell a product that's, you know, a $1.5 million investment. We're doing it completely all online. We have no other marketing anywhere.
Wow.
There's no newspaper. There's no magazines. There's no other type of connection to the public other than through a website, which is right now at 3 years old. It's a dinosaur. It should be buried and excavated at this point. It's not mobile at this point.
So for our listeners, just why don't you give us the website so they can check it out if they want.
Yes, I mean, they can look at a couple of different websites, stonemill.ca. Stonemill is not a bread company or a log home company, because it is in the United States. Stonemill.ca is the build site. We also have stonemillrealty.com. And one of the challenges with being a boutique office was the platform that I wanted to create there was many of the 20 agents don't even have their own personal website,
right,
which blows my mind. But however, is becoming kind of a prehistoric application as well.
Yeah.
Do you need an app? No. Do you need a website? No. Do you need something mobile that people can get your information? Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not necessarily a fan of Facebook business pages. I think it's an ineffective tool, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Certainly, I mean, if I can find your business page, I can find your real page. So, you know, tequila looks funny on both pages.
Yeah.
You know, we're also looking at buildinglotsforsale.ca. Now, in my case, I turned in a four-year lease car. We're allowed 20,000 kilometers, which is low.
Yeah.
20,000 kilometers would be about 6 miles in the States. And when I turned it in, I had 72,000 kilometers on an 80,000 kilometer allowance. And the service manager came in and he said, "Did you drive in a circle?" Well, for 4 years, yes, I have. That's how small my market area is. It's probably, if I had to really push it out, we might be looking at maybe 3,000 houses. That's it.
Wow.
I'm in an area, as I mentioned at the top of the show, at 172,000 population, and we're divided pretty much in slices. Oakville is you know, close to the water, and it heads up towards you know, Dundas, which is not even a 5 kilometer top to bottom stretch. And there's one major highway that divides the town in half. We're not even a city, we truly are a town. And I don't even sell real estate north of that major highway.
Wow.
I refer. And, you know, when I hear of people that are traveling hundreds of kilometers in every direction to take a client somewhere, I scratch my head. I have no idea why you would want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, give me somebody that's close to home. Give me somebody that I understand in my marketplace, where I truly am, where I really truly have expertise. And I can be the best person for the job. You take me out of that arena, even as much so as I said, crossing a highway inside my own town, which is, we're talking, you know, 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
It's not far,
yeah.
But it's a different market, and I don't know it, and I don't.
And that comes with
me and my connection. Yeah.
Let's give it
to the pros. Give it to the people that know what they're doing.
Exactly. And that comes with, you get the confidence knowing that you know your market, you know what you're doing, and your clients will now know and see that. And they know that, they know you don't sell in North Oakville. They don't need to work with you because they know what they want. They know they want south by the lake, and they know you're the person to talk to.
Absolutely. You know, it's an interesting situation. In the specialty that I have, we've actually listed three MLS realtors who actually particular community, and they've come to me specifically to help them market their home. Now, the home is being marketed. Could they just list their own home? Of course they could. It's that simple.
Yep.
However, because there's a specialty, because they sit on a piece of property that could be developed, that's not where they specialize. That's
right.
Not the audience that they interface with.
Yep.
That's not where their database has been developed. And they know that it is where I am. So I've listed realtors' homes and literally kind of chuckled at this point when the wife is going, I know that you do this, honey, but this guy is the expert. So let's just go with him.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. And when other realtors call you and say, we realize that you have a specialty in this area, my client's looking for, can you assist? Again, another benchmark. We actually had a top real estate agent here in town who's, always on top of his office, top 10 for the last 15 years, who also has a home building background, who came to me, signed a buyer agency agreement to help him find a lot. And you're just kind of looking around going like, really, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, why are you coming to
me?
But he said, you're the guy with the lots. You know where all the lots are.
So if I was to ask you, how would you say you got to that point, and how long would it take for you to get to that point? Because a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid of taking that step out, and they may wonder how long it's going to take me, 10 years to get to that point. How long did it take to you? For you being a normal agent to being that specialist and having people come to you?
Well, Ryan, we're in a marketplace where, as you heard from the numbers at this point, just a property being purchased to be torn down, we're looking at anywhere from $500 to $1 million just for a house that gets bought just to tear it down.
Yeah.
Even at our price point at this point, we're looking at somewhere between $700,000 and $800,000 to complete a brand new home on that lot. So the clients certainly have to have a different, financial capacity than, everybody that sells real estate. Having said that, we're in a community where the real estate agents pretty much echoed that as well. These are not people driving, their mom's Toyota Corolla. these are all late model cars and high-end late model cars, etc. So one of the things that I was looking for, I had a client that we delivered a home for that wanted to start building again. Every time we went into an MLS possibility of purchasing that particular lot, we found ourselves in a multiple offer situation, which became difficult. Because our clients have a back-end budget. They have to have $700,000, $800,000 tucked in their wallet because that's what it's going to cost them to build a house.
Right.
So they can't lose and compete on a property and overpay even as much as $20,000. They just don't have that elbow room.
Yeah.
So in looking at some different ways to help these people find and identify lots that might work for them, I started to look at the expired listings. I understand, having been a realtor for as long as I have, that if the listing is expired, everybody has signed that that spot on their listing agreement that basically highlights the fact that you cannot, as a realtor, contact somebody who's been expired if they've been listed with somebody else. I get it.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would actually phone you, Ryan, if it was your expiry, and I would say, hey, Ryan, I got some people that are interested in the lot. I figured, I would phone you to see if there was any kind of rapport or connection still available. Can you help introduce us to your client? And here's the point, Ryan. I spoke to not one, but several real estate agents that reamed me out for phoning them.
Wow.
It's like, dude,
you're handing him a deal.
Your client all day long.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need to speak to you, but I figured as a brethren real estate agent or a sister in the business that you had time in, money spent at this point, and possibly a rapport with the particular client that would help us engage, possibly, even if it was an arm's length transaction where we didn't do it at full commission. We did it at something that was a break point that gave all of our parties, you, me as practitioners, and the buyer and seller some relief in putting together this deal after the fact. So what I did was I just really took to the streets, and I just basically said in a really simple little postcard, "Hi, I'm looking for this. If this happens to be you, please give me a call." And that's what started it. This is now 2 years ago. I can tell you that we listed 9 properties in 9 days.
Wow.
Based on this postcard. And the card was really nothing special.
Right.
We have these lot parameters. If you have this kind of lot, give us a call.
Yeah.
And they called.
And the key with that is it was specific. It was exactly.
Yeah,
and they knew when they had it, they knew that's what they had. And that's what they responded to. It wasn't just a general, help me with your real estate needs, or I'm a great agent to call me.
Yeah. And it had nothing to do about market evaluation, and had nothing to do with industry stats. It had nothing to do with really anything other than the fact that, we had a client that was interested in buying a property to do a development on a very specific type of lot. They were looking for something that traditionally gets poo-pooed in real estate, which was a corner lot.
Right.
Everybody looked at this and said, oh, well, corner lots have no value. And those homeowners that actually have them have bought the belief that as they've been educated through their real estate partners, that their corner lot is worth less.
Right.
And unless you're like us as a builder who see a corner lot. It's not for everybody. I realize that.
Yep.
Not all, not every one of our sales is a corner lot, but we certainly have a different solution for our clients buying them and our clients selling them that offer these people some hope that they can at least realize market value. And that's what it really came down to, was the fact that when we were speaking to the clients, we have houses here that they're coming. People have been in them since they were new. They paid $12,000 to maybe $16,000 for these houses that are now worth $550,000, $600,000.
Right.
And one, they can't believe it. But two, they're fearful of the fact that, they're going to have to get in and get staged and this and the other thing. And that's just so not where we are. To be honest with you, last year when I was carrying an inventory of about a dozen lists, what they looked like inside.
Right.
I couldn't have told you whether the basement was finished, whether there was a leak, whether the roof was old, whether there was a furnace. I couldn't have told you anything. And the reason why, I went in and I signed up a listing based on the land.
Right.
That's all.
Yep.
And, when you start to kind of look at that, it is an upside down process. And we started to specialize in the upside down process. We actually sell real estate from the outside in.
Right. Which is complete opposite of most.
Completely opposite.
Yeah.
And so much so, and this is where, we started to kind of really change the modality of our business, was the fact that, I never even saw the inside of these houses. I never took measurements. I never did pictures. We never did staging.
Right.
All of those costs, all those expenses, all of those stress factors for a client didn't exist. In the event at this point that the property ended up on MLS, because typically we did this on an option agreement. And the reason why is we have a database of people that are looking for this specific property. So we had an off-menu offering to our clients that were thinking of doing a build. The client who was selling, we basically said, you have two options. If we go to MLS at this point, that certainly brings you the wide market versus one that's a little bit more vertical at this point in time. You may not realize an auction situation, or even somebody overpaying, but you'll at least pay whatever, you'll get paid market value or something reasonably close, and it's always up to you to decide whether you decide to take the money or not.
Right.
And when they would go on to MLS, if that became a solution that we recommended, it was interesting. I would phone you, Ryan. You would be phoning me actually to book an appointment to show this property. And I would say, hey, listen, Ryan, never seen the inside of the property. I will meet you there because I do have the key. But understand, and please recommend to your client at this point, that, you know, we listed the property because we see it for the, you know, its potential for development.
Right.
I haven't seen the inside. There is no warranty. You can do whatever inspections you need to do. I'm not going to prevent you from doing that.
Right.
That's great. But don't look to me to see any kind of relief on this, because we're really not selling the bricks and sticks.
Yep.
If it's here, it's here. It's great.
Yep.
Is it rentable? By somebody who owns it. But it, past that, that would be it. And all is, you know, you're in it dead, because I've told you I'm selling land. You can show the house, I don't care, but, you know, your client needs to know that what I'm selling is the outside,
right,
not the inside.
So how much?
So it threw a lot of people.
How much would you say of your business is the buying side of that, and how much would you say is the selling side, and how much would you say is double-ended because of your specialty in doing that? How much do you actually put together yourself?
You know, those are some powerful questions, Ryan, I can tell you at this point. So certainly at this point, we do want to recommend, you know, we do get clients to call us just strictly for the ability that we have to be able to market their property as an entity.
Right.
So they're marketing it as a regular building. They're marketing it as a lot.
Yep.
And then they're marketing it as both. And so what happens in a lot of cases, what we're finding, and it was interesting, this time last year, I had three listings all in the same, roughly in the same neighborhood, very close in price point. They all went to MLS probably about the same time. So about this time, we had late October, early November, straight through to the end of the year, we had 100 showings.
Wow.
Not each, but collectively amongst those three properties.
Yep.
And interestingly enough, not one of those showings that came with an agent, because I'm present for all showings,
yep,
on those properties. It's like a reverse open house.
Yeah.
I don't have open houses on the weekend. I just show up when you're actually going to show the property.
Yeah.
Not one of the showings was a woman.
Hmm.
One time this woman showed up on her own. The agent and I were standing in the driveway. She pulled up and I'm like, wow, you're the first one. And she's like, well, what do you mean the first one? I'm like, the first woman out of, like, by then we were at the 50 or 60 showings mark at that point, to come. And she said, no, I'm just waiting for my boyfriend. I'm early. It's like, oh, come on. So we never had a woman look at the property. They were never the buyer.
Hmm.
There was girlfriends and wives that showed up, but it was the agent speaking to the man only.
Hmm.
It just threw me. It also occurred to me at this point, I could hear the conversation between buyer and their agent was, they said, if we buy it and we do this level of treatment, update, et cetera, you know, what can we get for it? So they're looking to spec, rehab, flip,
yep,
the property at this point.
Yep.
And the agents were, they didn't know.
Yeah.
They had no information. So we took it at that point when we actually did our market evaluations. I went right outside the box. To me, the way a traditional CMA is actually generated and created, it's we're giving 100% opinion based on 70% data.
Right.
Basically means that there's a lot of arm's length transactions, trades, and real estate that have nothing to do with MLS.
Right.
So it's not available in our system.
Yep.
So we're drawing down all that we have, but not that all that's available.
Right.
So I went outside. I do have a third party company that does all of my CMAs for me, but they also do a 5-step financial analysis. And that basically means to you, Ryan, as a realtor, that if your client buys the property as is right now, if they can turn the property and have it back on market within a 30-day market or a time frame at the following levels of enhancement. So everything from, you know, lipstick and hairspray, which,
right,
is just a small, you know, remodel on the inside, straight through to a complete brand new build. Now, obviously, they can't do a new build in 30 days, but on a reasonable time frame for that, depending on the investment in, what could they see as a likely return? What is the market bearing at this point? And I would show what the value was if you bought it today,
yep,
for even, you know, list price at this point, and did the following treatments, 1, 2, 3, or 5,
yep,
at this point, here's what it would be worth if you put it back on the market now. And I offered this report to all agents that showed the property. And I just basically said, Ryan, give me your business card and I will send you this report.
Right.
Not one agent requested the report.
Wow.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
You basically did the work for them, and you were handing it to them for nothing.
So sometimes you can't give away gold.
Yeah.
And that really became, you know, it was so many question marks in my mind as to why wouldn't you take the report? Yeah. I don't care if you just threw it away. You know, your client's going to go, I have, you know, complete plans to come in here and do something significantly to change this. And even a remodel can be $20,000 of an investment,
yeah,
not including the time you put in, to as much as, you know, $600,000-$700,000 for a replacement build. Don't you want to know?
Yeah.
And especially if this report was free.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have charged $1,000 or something. Maybe they would have paid for it. I don't know.
You never know. So how many would you say you do end up doing yourself then? Like, or double ending?
As far as, you know, double ending, and I want to qualify that for a second.
Okay.
My version of double ending is very similar to the stateside facilitation.
Right.
I do highly recommend, you know, in our option period, if I can find you a buyer, I can do it for a single side commission. So right. 2.5 versus say 5.
Yeah.
And it's disclosed. Everybody knows. There's no surprises at this point. But when I have that kind of disclosure, I do recommend, I'm like, if you need 2-5 days, you know, to have a conversation with your lawyer just to make sure that you're comfortable with this as a process,
yeah,
then by all means, let's do that. So this isn't a kind of a hammer through, push on deadlines,
for sure,
you know, beat them up at this point. It's a very educated, very, Ryan, it would be as close to a commercial real estate transaction as you would find in a residential market.
And that's the feeling I was getting. It takes the warm and fuzzies out of it because it's not, you're not buying the nice house with the lipstick job and not the staging. Yeah. It's you're buying land and the value and the future value that it that's what the feeling I get is more of a
certainly,
commercial.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. It's certainly a math problem. It's like selling investment real estate. Reasons why is, when we actually bring this to market, there's a lot of times that people on my database who are looking for this as a product, especially if they're looking to build their home, they say, well, just give me the address and I'll drive by.
Right.
Well, no, we're not going to do that. And one of the reasons why is because they're going to look at, you know, a 50-year-old 1,000-square-foot bungalow and try to envision a 3,200-square-foot double-car garage on that lot. Well, right. I can tell you that they can't do it.
Yeah.
As good as their mind's eye is,
yeah,
they cannot do it. Yeah. I have pockets. I have a 3-hour driving tour in my backyard because I drive in a circle.
Yeah.
And I show people 2 identical size lots with a 1,000-square-foot home on it and
right,
with a 3,600-square-foot home on it side by side. And they cannot believe this house fits on that lot.
Right.
It's like, guys, I'm proving it to you.
Yep.
This is see, feel, touch. Here it is.
Yep. Yep. And that's the difference you have because you have the experience.
And we do it. If an investor, when you're dealing with investors in real estate at this point, everything for them, you know, is their cap rate. What's their return?
Yep.
So I don't care if it's ugly, it leans, it's in this part of town or that part of town. If its rent roll is, you know, solid and certainly performing, it's a math equation.
Yep.
I pay X, I get back this. That's all that matters. Here, we still have to kind of train people a little bit from the point of view that it's like this ugly 1,000-square-foot home won't be here when your brand new 3,200-square-foot home
right,
is in its place.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily give off addresses at this point in time, but it is certainly, I don't know, is it higher brow? In many ways, I do think that's the case because it's really done based on math.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, well, in the interest of time, we're just going to wrap up. So why don't you remind people again where they can find you? So if they do have people buying in that, again, like
sure,
you said, agents can refer to you. Or if they want to connect with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you? And we'll go from there.
As always, my website is iloveopenhouses.com. An email of the same name, iloveopenhouses@gmail.com. Direct line is 289-242-9050, and certainly check us out at buildinglotsforsale.com or .ca. Both work, and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
Thanks
so
very much, Ryan. I appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you for being on.
Connect.
It's great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up each show with a golden nugget. So if you can give one piece of advice to someone who's thinking about doing a niche or even this niche specifically in their area, what would you say?
Well, if you're going to do something as a niche, investigate the niche. Learn everything you possibly can. And unfortunately, you may discount experiences, people, resources that are available to you in your niche that you're just not paying attention to. I was very fortunate to, you know, be on deck with an opportunity where I became a very good student. When I went on my first consultation to speak about a large-scale renovation or a build with the owner, broker, builder, I went, I sat like a stooge probably for 20, 30 different presentations where I just sat there. I pretty much carried the guy's purse.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, I was a sponge.
Oh, you meant Merce, right?
Yes, well.
Or did it wasn't a purse?
Sure. No. It was a Merce. Okay. But the point of it was, I don't like to look stupid. I certainly bring 32 years of real estate experience to the table at this point, but I knew when to shut up and to listen. And I remember at the debrief of the very first presentation, the broker builder had said to me, well, that went pretty well. Well, sure it did, because I said nothing and he did all the talking. And I said, really? Am I the first realtor out of your bailiwick of the team you have to come on a presentation? And he said, yeah. Wow. I said, so they get paid on it. So if they just give you a name on a napkin, your per square foot fee, a commission, to just give you that piece of paper. And he said, yeah. And I said, they've never come with you to kind of see how it comes from interest to design and build. Mm-hmm. He's like, never. And then since me, you know, we've trained, you know, half of our sales team to kind of do what I do as well. So they've realized and recognized in our case specifically, oh, look, it's 11:11. That's a good thing. They've realized one thing. If I help you buy that piece of property, well, that's a $500,000 or $600,000 sale. Yeah. If you then do a custom build with us, there's another commission. And again, it's not based on a percentage, it's based on a per square foot, but it's another revenue source. Yeah. You have to leave or sell the house that you live in now to move in. If I've done it right, there's three potential sales of real estate at this point. The very low end of that one transaction in getting all three of those pieces is about $40,000 in revenue. So how many do you need to do to kind of, you know, make your year based on just doing this?
Yep.
One client, three sales over an 18-month period of time.
So it's well worth
it. In Canada, you know, realtors at this point, they have stated that in your adult lifetime, you as an adult in Canada will move 8 times total.
Yep.
Three of those past the age of 65.
Wow.
When you've done a deal with me, I've taken 3 of those 8 in an 18-month period.
Yep.
That's why I'm here.
That's good.
That's why I became a specialist.
That's great. So thank you again for being on the show. So we're going to put your contact information below so people can check it out. And if you have any questions for Ron, he'd be happy to talk to him. So thank you again for being on and have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
You still there?
I'm good.
All right. That was good. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. So
not a problem.
Yeah, that was, I'm going to have it up. I'm going to do some editing on it. I'm going to launch in January. So I'm going to do a couple in the first week and then I'm going to do a weekly. So I'm going to figure out my schedule of how I'm going to do it. So it'll probably be in that month of January when we get launched.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm getting a transcription person to do the whole transcription of it. So it'll all be there available as well for people to download. So all the information will be on there. And the site I'm just getting built. So it should be ready by January 1st, I hope. So.
Cool, man.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So again, I appreciate it. If you have any questions on it, let me know. And I'll keep you posted when it's up and ready to go.
It's all good, brother.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thank you very much again, and have a great day.
We'll talk to you soon. Ciao.